talking to some of these young men up here, Brother Tagliarini, found out that I went to school with his uncle, I believe. Your cousin. All right. We went to high school together. And boy, we found out not only that, he was my doctor for a while, and I moved out of the state and came back. And boy, what a thrill. Then began to talk, found out they went to the same college, Crown College. And so I just had a mission conference, 2 weeks ago with Mark Brandon, who you knew. And of course, I talked to Jonathan on the phone today, and he said, oh yeah, he said, I remember Brother Tagliarini. And just it just goes on and on. You got to be careful, don't you? Yeah. That, I'll tell you what. I appreciate Brother Sheldon. You invite me over. Yeah. God bless you. Met him some time ago, and he said, "Now I want you to come over and preach." And every time I'd see him, he said, "I want you to come over and preach." And I thought, "I'll never get over there. As old as I am, you know, I'll probably die." But I've been over here years ago. I used to come. I had a different kind of hair, didn't I, Marietta, huh? Different color hair, and kind of a young fellow, preached then. But I was up at Crown College a few years back, and Brother Clarence called me up, and he said, "This is Scotty Drake. I want you to meet the fellow that helped Noah build the ark." I've never forgiven him. But it is a small world. The food, man, I tell you what, we ought to just open us a restaurant, and I'll manage it and take care of the cash register. And boy, that was delicious. I mean, what a great job you did. And boy, those greens. I mean, whoever fixed those greens, you need to teach my wife how to season those things, will you? But boy, I mean, everything was just delicious, and I tried just about a little bit of everything. I used to weigh about 60. Mary Eddie, you probably remember this. I used to weigh about 65 pounds more than I weigh now. And so the doctor told me years ago that I need to keep my weight around 200, and so I've tried to do that. Now, that's hard to do. That's hard to do. I like to eat, but anyway, we do our best. And you're talking about, now this stuff you're talking about, how was it you got in touch with those people over there?
Facebook.
All right. That stuff's new to me. You know, it's taken me about 5 years to learn how to turn this thing here on and off. And I was at a church last year in a missions conference. And we got talking. He told me, you know, got talking about how his computer and all this stuff. I said, "Don't want one, never had one, not planning on learning how to use one." And, you know, he went out and bought me a computer, and he says, "You're going to learn how." Now, I've got it home, and I've learned how to turn it on and turn it off. And that's about all. That's about a year's worth of work there to find out how to do that. But I'm reminded about the... You get my age, you don't really rip it. You know, is that what they said? He really rips it. Oh, when you get my age, you just kind of give a little talk. And so that's what people say. People walk up to me and say, "You going to preach tonight?" I said, "No, I'll just give a little talk." Kind of reminds me, Pastor, I remember hearing a story about an old country preacher up in North Carolina, and he was up in the mountains. And he was preaching away, and there was an evangelist. They had an evangelistic service, a little old frame church, and it was hot in the middle of the summertime and no air condition. And great big preacher, you know, you could tell he was raised on fried chicken, mashed potatoes, gravy, and biscuits and all that. I mean, he big around as he was tall. Somebody said the bubble was in the middle. So he had to be on the level. But anyway, he got up and started preaching, and he just preached as just hard as he could, his blood vessels sticking out and got soaking wet, and he started hacking, you know, how they'll hack up in those mountains, and boy, he got to really going. I mean, he was going 100 mile an hour, and when he got through, he walked down, and a little old boy walked up to him and said, "Preacher," said, "you sure did try to preach tonight, didn't you?" And he looked at the little boy and he said, "Son," he said, "I sure did." He said, "You just couldn't quite do it, could you?" And so that's about the way I feel sometimes. You just can't quite do it. But let's hope and pray that God gives us something. Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Luke. The book of Luke, chapter number 6. The book of Luke, chapter number 6. I'm going to read two verses tonight. I want to speak to you on the subject, avoiding bankruptcy. Avoiding bankruptcy. Look at Luke chapter number 6, verse number 31, and we'll read that verse, and then we'll read 38, okay? All right, look at verse number 31. That's a good verse. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. Boy, that's a good verse, isn't it? You know, I used to work with Florida Highway Patrol. I worked over 7 years with Florida Highway Patrol, and we used to have to go up to Tallahassee ever so often, and we would have a school. We would have what we call like a public relations school, and then they'd review laws and stuff like that. But we always had a man that would tell us that he was the fellow that lobbied for the bills of the Highway Patrol in the Senate and in Congress, the Florida Congress up in Tallahassee. And he would tell us, he'd tell us, and I mean, he was a real good PR man, but he had a foul mouth, and he'd tell us what he thought of those politicians, which wasn't very good. But he used to tell us, he said, listen, he says, you be careful who you stop out there. He said, whoever you stop, even if you give them a ticket, he said, you treat them like you want your mother to be treated. And then he would go ahead and he'd tell us these different things. He said, you don't know it. He says, you may stop somebody out there and it may be the governor's daughter. And you've got to be careful how the way you treat them. And he says, you ought to be able to give somebody a ticket and let them say thank you when you give it to them. Now, that's the way it used to be when I worked with the Florida Highway Patrol. It really was. And you had to be courteous. And he said, here's what he said. He said, I'm the one that's got to go up and get our bills passed. And you go out here and you treat these people bad, and the word gets around, or you get the wrong person and you don't treat them right, then I go up and I'm trying to get bills lobbied for the Highway Patrol. He said, they turn on you. And so that's what this verse is talking about. Yeah, it says, and as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. I think that's a great verse. And then you go to verse number 38. I like this one. It says, give and it shall be given unto you. Give and, now what did I say I was preaching on tonight? Avoiding bankruptcy. All right, now look, here's how you do it. It says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same message that ye met withal it shall be measured to you again. Now, here's what the Word of God's saying. The Word of God is saying this. It's saying you give and you're going to get back. Now, let me tell you something. When you stop giving, what happens, you get so much, and then all at once it'll get up here, and if you're not giving it out, you'll get choked. Remember the rich man that built the bigger barns?
Yeah.
The Bible says you fool. You're just a fool.
Right.
And but what'll happen? It'll get stopped up. When people are given to you and given to you, and you quit giving, all at once you get stopped up. And when you get stopped up, you're in trouble. You're in real trouble. So here's what God does. He says, listen, I'm going to give to you. And what I expect you to do is I expect you to give it out. That's what it is. Did you know God gives more through you than he does to you? I was listening to Lehman Strauss on the radio this afternoon. Of course, he's been dead several years, but they were preaching a message. He says that he called his children in and he told them, he said, listen, he said, I'm not storing up anything for you kids. He says, I'm going to do my giving while I'm living so I'm knowing where it's going. Now, you see, here's the thing. God's word is teaching us, if you give, I'm going to keep giving. But if you give, the more you give, the more I'm going to give you. And he said, here's what I'm going to do. He said, I'm going to give you so much in verse number 38. He says, I'm going to press it down. I'm going to put it in your basket, and I'm going to press it down. I was a little boy in Kentucky. My daddy owned a big general store. when I was a kid, before we moved to Florida. I moved to Florida when I was 10 years old. And I remember when you used to get things in bushel baskets. Any of you folks in my age or older? Remember, I mean, even cookies, they bought them in great big boxes and people came in and ordered them. I can remember beans were coming in wooden barrels. You remember that? And then they'd weigh them out and pass them out. And I'll never forget the beans. I had to confess this one day while I was preaching. My mom and dad were sitting out there. But I remember one time I went into a grocery store and they had these beans, you know, and the top was off. And so I took one and put it in my pocket. I was a little bitty old kid, 4, 5, 6 years old, something like that. And I got home, and my mother found the bean. And she said, "Where'd you get it?" And I said, "Well, I got it down to the store." I mean, you know, one bean. Can you imagine one bean? She said, "You did what?" I said, "Well, I got it down to the store." She said, "Well, you didn't tell me you was getting that bean." I said, "No, I just got the bean, put it in my pocket. I'm a little kid, you know. I thought nothing about it." She marched me down to that store and made me give that bean to that guy that owned that store and tell him I was sorry. And here he was saying, "Miss Drake, don't worry about that bean. Don't worry about it." She said, "Oh, no. I'm going to tell you what. You do your kids like that, and I guarantee you they'll be, you're liable to raise up some preachers instead of thieves."
Amen.
One bean. I'm talking about one navy dried bean. Y'all know what I'm talking about? That's how old I am. He says, "Now listen, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to you in a basket." And he said, "Then I'm going to keep giving it to you. If you keep giving it out, I'm going to keep giving it to you. And I'm going to give it back to you so fast that," he says, "I'm going to press it down. And then I'm going to shake it together." You seen people shake something so that it'll settle? He said, "We're going to let it settle." And he said, "Not only that," he says, "I'm going to give you so much that it's just going to start running over." Now, we're living in a day where our economy's in a mess. We're living in a day where you're saying, "Oh my, what's going to happen tomorrow?" I'll tell you what's going to happen tomorrow. If you're a born-again Christian, you're going to be taken care of. I mean, the Lord's going to take care of you. And if you're a born-again Christian and this church here is built on the right kind of a foundation, you want me to tell you, Brother Sheldon, what's going to happen? You're going to have a great year next year.
Amen.
Because God's going to take care of you.
Right.
He's going to supply your needs. Now, if you stop giving, you're going to get choked. Mm-hmm. You got to keep giving. You got to keep giving. And I can remember my dad talking about the Depression. My dad went through the Depression. I can hear him talking about how that he would take baling wire to put in his shoes, to hold his shoes together. I can remember him talking about the patches that he had to wear, his clothes with patches on it. I can remember him talking about when the stock market caved, how the people jumped out of the windows and killed themselves. And I see some of you shaking your heads. You've probably heard the same stories I have. Surely you didn't go through that. I don't think you did. But my dad did. And I've heard him tell about all the things that went on during the Depression. And we look at the economy now. And I want you to know something, folks. I believe things are not in good shape. I really do. I believe you can take the Word of God, and the Word of God will tell you what the headlines are going to be tomorrow. I mean, you can just take it, and you can go through Ezekiel and Jeremiah and all those, and you can find out. And things that we're seeing right today has been prophesied thousands of years ago.
Amen.
What we're seeing right today. And but I'm going to tell you what. Listen, I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for the upper taker.
Amen.
Huh? That's what the guy said. And I'm not worried about starving to death. I believe until Jesus comes, he's going to take good care of me.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I don't see anybody in here that looks like the economy's hurting you. You know, they say 80%. I think I read somewhere that 80% of the people in America are overweight. I don't see too many underweight people here. So I believe God's taking care of you. And I believe he's going to keep on doing it.
Amen.
If he don't, there's something wrong with this book.
Right.
And so those things shouldn't worry you. The news is full of greed. white-collar crime. We're seeing it all the time. We look at the car industry and say, man, what a mess that's in. And we look at the housing, and boy, the housing, you know, we got all these houses, and people were going around buying houses, just buying, boy, I mean, you know, making a couple of $300 a week and buying a $200,000-$400,000 house. Yeah. Crazy as lunatics, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, when I was in school, they used to take a pie, and they'd say, okay, you take this, and they'd show you how to budget. Really? Did you know they taught me that? I'll tell you something else they taught me. Now, listen, we're going to get down and dirty maybe. I don't know. But something else they taught me. They taught me that socialism was the first cousin to communism.
Yeah.
Right. Amen, amen, and amen.
Right.
And brother, I want you to know we're headed quickly on that path. But hey, listen, we as born again Christians ought to be smarter than that.
Right. Right.
I mean, read your Bible. But we look at the housing, we look at the banks, the airlines, it goes on and on. But I want you to know something. Years ago when I was a young man, I went to a meeting, a preacher's meeting. There was probably 100 preachers there. Dr. Lee Robertson, probably running 10 or 12,000 in Sunday school, was there. I'll never forget. He got up to preach and he said, fellas, he said, before we get started, he said, I want to tell you the success of your church, the success of your church. He reached in his pocket and got his keys. I'll never forget this as long as I live. He got his keys. He said, the key to your church is missions. He did that. I'll never forget it. He said, that's the key right there. He said, it's missions. And when I went into the pastorate and everything, I made sure that I followed his advice. He was my hero. But I'll never forget him doing that. I remember one time going up and preaching at Dr. Harold Seitler's church. I think, Barbara, you probably were with me. And I preached for Dr. Harold Seitler up at Tabernacle Baptist Church, Greenville, South Carolina. And I'll never forget it. After I got through preaching, they had a business meeting. And in the business meeting, he said, now last month, folks, he said, we didn't meet our budget. He didn't meet our budget. Now what we need to do is put on another missionary. Do I have a motion that we put on another missionary? He had a motion, and how many, and the whole congregation raised their hand. He said, well, that's good. He said, that'll take care of the budget. Oh,
amen.
I'll tell you what, we had some wise men back in those days. Missions will keep you from going bankrupt. Giving will keep you from going bankrupt. Are you worried? Are you worried about the economy? I'm not.
Amen.
I'm not going to worry about that bunch in Washington, D.C. taking care of me when I get older. I mean, I'm old enough right now to take care of myself, you know, really. And brother, but I want you to know something. We cannot go bankrupt by giving. By giving to the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no way in the world, according to this book right here, that you can go bankrupt. Now, I want to give you some things quickly. Giving to missions is a great work. It's for a great work. Dr. Robertson told me when we started Help Ministry 15 years ago, he said, Scotty, he said, missions is the greatest work in all the world.
Amen.
Now, I want you to know something. The first thing churches will do when they start having a little economical problems is dropping missionaries. That's not what you should do. You should do what J. Harold Seitler said. Hey, I think we better put on another missionary.
Yeah.
And you'll find out that God will take care of you. He'll do it. Oh, listen to me. It proves, listen, when you give to missions and when you give that the gospel can go out, it proves that you love other people.
Amen.
Giving proves that you love. But not only that, it proves that you're obedient to the Word of God.
Amen.
The Word of God teaches us to give.
Amen.
And listen, we believe this is the book, don't we? Do we believe it's the inspired word of God? We got people going around now talking about double inspiration, all that junk. Hey, folks, I believe God preserved that. You can't separate preservation and inspiration. You can't do it to save your life. I've got a book here, brother, and I believe it's straight from God and can be defended just like it's written, word for word for word for word. I believe that. I have no doubt about it. I believe that I hold in my hand the perfect, inspired word of God.
Amen.
I believe it. And I don't like anybody messing with it.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
This is God's word.
Yes.
And we're going to stand on it. I'm talking about the King James Bible.
Amen.
I'm not talking about that Mickey Mouse stuff that you can put on the shelf of Donald Duck and all that. I'm talking about your King James Bible. And if you read your King James Bible, you find out that you can't go bankrupt by serving God.
Amen.
You can't go bankrupt by giving to God. It proves that you love people. It proves that you're obedient to the command of God. It proves that you have the right spirit. When you give, you got the right spirit.
Amen.
Oh, listen to me. Hey, most people are takers. Did you know that? Did you know most people are takers? I mean, pick up the newspaper. Watch the news program. Putting people in jail all the time. You want me to tell you why? Because they were taken. Listen, I'm glad I can stand before you and I can say, hey, praise God, I've been able to give a Bible and I hadn't had to go beg for one.
Amen.
Praise God, brother, I've got a suit on and I hadn't had to go beg somebody to buy me one.
Right.
Praise God, I got a pair of shoes on. Listen, the car I've got out there was given to me. I wrecked my car. The next day I went to India thinking, oh my, what am I going to do? And then I got home, spent one night, and went to Montana to a conference. And I still didn't, but all that y'all was doing was flying and flying here and flying there, wondering, what am I going to do? And lo and behold, if I didn't come home from Montana and sitting in my driveway was that blue town car. Come to find out, it was a guy I had led to Christ in prison. He was in prison. I'm talking about the federal penitentiary. I'd led him to Christ. He's a multimillionaire. And he found out that I had wrecked my car. And he went and had a brand new Cadillac Escalade picked out. And was calling my wife to have her to come over and sign for it. My son-in-law said, man, he can't buy that. He can't drive that. He said, well, why? He said, first of all, he can't afford the gas that goes in it. He said, secondly, can't you see him driving up to a church in a Cadillac Escalade saying, we need $25 a month to support a missionary in a village? He said, go buy him a 3 or 4 year old town car that's low mileage and he'll be happy. It's just like he's got a new car. Hey, I got a new car sitting right out there. That thing runs like a top. He talked to me the other day. He said, boy, it's about time to get you another car, isn't it? I said, nope. This thing runs just like a brand spanking new one. Hey, God's good.
Amen.
God's good. I mean, he'll take care of you. And if you give, it shows that you got the right spirit about you. Who wants to be a taker? I don't want to be going around begging people for anything.
Amen.
I want to be able to say, hey, man, here's a Bible. We're going to Africa, and guess what? We're taking about $25,000, and we're going to buy these people in Africa, we're going to buy them bicycles. We're going to buy them Bibles. We're going to do everything we can for over 600 preachers. And by the way, in year 2000, there was 15. They have multiplied and multiplied and multiplied and multiplied because we've been able to send them like $20, $30, $40 a month, something like that. And now then they've had their own school for several years. They've got over 600 churches. We're going to meet with them. We're going to make sure they get bicycles so they can ride from one place to the other. And we're going to say, man, here's you a Cadillac Escalade.
Amen.
And that's what they think they've got.
Hey,
you can't outgive God.
That's right.
There's no way you can outgive God. But secondly, giving to missions is a godly work. A godly work. Did you know something? That giving to missions is it has to do with a man's soul that lives for eternity. A man's soul. A woman's soul. Eternal soul. I mean, that's a godly work when you start thinking about, hey, you mean my mission dollars can get people saved? Sure it can. Listen, I was in China. I'm talking about last year. I was in China. in front of a Buddhist temple. I'm standing there. There's people in there looking at this big fat thing, you know. And I said, man, I don't need this. So I'm standing out on the sidewalk. And while I do, there's these three people, and I made mention of that this morning. Three people walked up to me, and they wanted to practice English, is what they wanted to do. By the way, you know the reason English is being taught all over the world? They say it's a trade language. Guess what? It's a Bible language.
Amen.
You can't put it in another language. Did you know that? And by the way, for you Greek scholars, if you were to take the Greek that they used, I found out that the Greek they used when the Greek was written, that you can't use it today. It's a dead language. And if you went over to Greece and ordered a cup of coffee in their language that 2,000 years ago, they'd look at you like you were nuts.
Amen.
You got it, folks, right here.
That's right.
Right here. And I'm going to tell you something. Since we're the ones that's got it, we're the ones that's got the responsibility of making sure they get it.
Amen.
That's why you're having your mission month. Amen?
Yeah.
All right. Yes, sir. Hey, listen to me. So these three, they come up and started talking to me, and they in broken English. And the girl looked at me, and I finally looked at her. She's about 25 years old, had two young men about her age with her. And she looked at me, and she said she just wanted to start talking. I finally said, well, what religion are you? She said, I'm a Buddhist. She said, I go in there every morning at 8 o'clock and pray to Buddha. I said, oh, you do? She said, yes. I looked at the boy, and in his broken English, I said, what about you? He said, I'm a Christian. I said, you are. I said, what kind of church you belong to? He said, one of those illegal churches. Talking about a house church. So the other guy couldn't understand a thing. So I looked back at the girl. I said, you hear your friend here say he was a Christian? She said, yes. I said, when you go in there and pray to Buddha, does he hear you? She said, well, I don't know. I said, when you go in there and pray to him, does he ever talk back to you? Well, no. I said, how do you think he got in there? Well, I think somebody might have carved him. I said, now listen to me, young lady. I said, wouldn't you rather have what this man's got, where he can talk to the Lord in heaven, and he can speak to you in your heart, and you can know that you're going to heaven when you die? She said, yes, I would. And right there on the streets of Beijing, she bowed her head and asked Jesus Christ to come into her heart. And when she got through, she looked at me and she says, now you mean I don't have to go in there and pray to Buddha every morning? I said, no, you don't ever have to go in there again. You can pray to him everywhere you go. And my advice is, be sure every night before you go to bed that you get on your knees and talk to him. And you're going to find out he's going to talk to you. Hey, aren't you glad you're a Christian?
Amen.
Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that you're saved? Aren't you glad that you can take something and give it to them and you don't have to ask them to give it to you?
Amen.
But giving to missions, friend, can be a grievous task. It's not always easy. Did you know that there's one called Satan? He's always sneaking behind the corner. he'll say, listen, forget about that mission money. Go on down here and tank up on McDonald's. By the way, they say that makes you fat. Yeah, he'll say, go ahead and spend that $40, $50 on your hairdo. Forget missions. Come on now. Like the old boy said, don't look down, it's not time to pray. Hey, listen to me. Hey, the devil will do everything in his might to try to keep you from giving to get people saved. He'll do it. He'll work on you harder than he'll work on a non-Christian. Oh, listen to me. Giving to missions can be a grievous thing, friend of mine. Ah, you stop and you think about men like Ed and Hiram Judson that she just read about. That's not the only wife he buried over there. He buried a baby over there, too. He buried a couple of kids over there, and he died on his way back to America on the ship. He rotted in a stinking jail for almost 7 years while his wife, Ann, would sneak him food so that he could live. Wrote the Judson Bible, and they're using it today over in Burma. Hey, listen, man, they had the fever. They had it all. But brother, praise God, I want you to know something Judson's known today in Burma. It's a dictatorship, and you've got to be careful when you carry the gospel into Burma, but that's still, he still made his mark in Burma.
Amen.
And brother, I want you to know something. It was Martin Luther that went over with them and came back and said, I'll raise money so you guys can do it. Carey, Taylor, and all these fellas. Martin Luther came back. And Martin Luther never did go back overseas, but he stayed over here and did nothing but Luther Rice. Well, you get old. Luther Rice, you've heard of Luther Rice Seminary? He's the one that raised money to make sure they stayed on the mission field.
Amen.
Hey, I want you to know something. Hey, he was a Baptist too, brother. He became a Baptist on the boat over.
Right.
And when he got over there, it was a guy by the name of Ward. He had baptizing.
Yeah.
I know a little bit about Baptist too.
Amen.
My last name's Drake, and you're not going to take the last name off of it. I am also a Baptist, and you're not taking that off of it either. More Baptists martyred for the Lord Jesus Christ than any other denomination. 50 million Baptists have lost their life because of immersion after baptism, after salvation.
Amen.
Hey, man, I don't worry about that Rick Warren bunch, and that all that mega church stuff. Hey, I want you to know I'm a Baptist, brother, from head to toe. I'm a born-again Baptist.
Amen.
Been baptized after I was saved. And guess what, man? I was put under.
Amen.
Giving to missions will prove to be a glad work. Not only a grievous work, but a glad work. I want you to know someday the Lord will take care. He'll take care of us. He'll take care of us while we're here. He's going to take care. I guarantee you, you're going to eat breakfast in the morning. Anybody here, you can't afford breakfast in the morning? You don't have anything for breakfast in the morning? See the preacher. Hey, God's good. He's going to take care of us. I mean, he's going to take care of you. He's going to take care of you as long as you live on this earth if you're a born-again believer.
That's right.
Oh, he'll take care of you, but listen to me, one day... Now, one day you're going to hear, you're going to read in the paper, you're going to read in the paper where old Scotty Drake, brother, he's gone. You're going to read where my wife has become a widow and my children have become orphans. But you don't have to cry. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and he's going to take care of me. And when I get to heaven, I want him to look at me and say, well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Amen.
That's what I want. There was a lady by the name of Martha Hartman. She was blind. She never missed church. They'd go by and pick her up, take her to church every service. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Never missed. Always went to church. Blind. She'd walk out the door and tell her preacher, smile at him, and she said, the first person I'll ever see is Jesus. The first person I'm ever see in my life will be Jesus. Well, you know what? One day they found Martha Hartman. She had gone to see Jesus. The church got together and said, you know, she was so faithful down through the years, so faithful. I mean, sitting in the same place, always encouraging the preacher, always singing to the best of her ability. Blind, couldn't see all of her life. And the church got together and they said, man, let's make sure she gets a good funeral. And they got together and all chipped in, and they went into the funeral director and made sure that they had a nice casket for her, and just did everything they could, and they buried her. And then they went out and ordered the headstone. And the church took up the money for the headstone, and they got on the headstone, Martha Hartman, the day that she was born, the day that she passed away, and then the epitaph. I once was blind, but now I see. Folks, when we get to glory, all these things that we're talking about, the Lord will look at you and say, well done, East Life Baptist Church. Well done. Pastor, you give the invitation.
Amen. What a work we have before us. What a privilege to be able to be obedient to the Lord. Tonight he was talking about giving. Can I ask you, are you willing to give yourself to the work? Amen. Give yourself to the work. It is absolutely no good for you to feel these things with money if we're not doing the work here and the people that are around us. We can't pay somebody else to do our job. But when we're doing our job and we give to the work of missions, God doubly blesses that because we're doing our work and we're helping the work to get done and other places. You've been so faithful in your giving. And I know God's going to take care of us again.
Amen.
I don't have a doubt about that. But let's do the work that God has for us to do here in our hearts, our lives. And just like the giving is given to missions is a good work, a great work, a godly work, a grievous work, and a glad work, so is the work here. It's a great work.
Amen.
It's a glad work. It's a grievous work.
Amen.
And it's a godly work. And it's the work that God has for us to do. Maybe you need to come tonight and make a commitment. Most of you have already placed your faith promise commitments. But how about making a commitment to doing what God wants you to do? The work He has for you to do here.
Amen.
Where you work, in your neighborhood, in your family, and in your own personal life. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Stand to our feet very quietly. I want to sing a hymn of invitation in just a moment. But when we do, I want you to be obedient. God is speaking to you. I want you to be ready to come. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this time. And we thank you, Lord, for the word of God. We thank you for the work. I thank you, Lord, for how you've provided in our missions this past year. And how you're going to provide this coming year. But Lord, may we do the work you have for us to do around us, in our own lives personally. And Lord, just as much as we give and commit to that, may we commit ourselves tonight to do the work that you have for us personally to do by way of giving, by way of going. May Christ be real to us and through us, and may others see him in us. For it's in thy precious and holy name we do pray. Amen. What hymn number, brother?
156.
Hymn number 156.